Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would repent where we need to repent. Heavenly Father, help us celebrate where we can celebrate. Holy Spirit, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to guide us, and I may go back to the notes, but I'm just going to share what's in my heart. Let's go to Noah. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. And in this moment, I'm trusting that the Lord will guide us and guide us. Genesis 6. And my key verse is going to be verse 22. But I want to give you the backstory and the backdrop of all this. And we're going to start reading from verse 9, Genesis 6, 9, if you're there. It says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man. Righteousness means you're in right standing before God, yourself, and other people. All those relationships are in order. And he walked faithfully with God. What God is looking for in this season is people who will walk faithfully with him. Not only in this season, he has always been looking for those people. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, no one is worthy of me if they will start down this road and do what? Go back the other way. Righteousness is a difficult and it's a hard thing. And we've made it seem so simple. Being in right relationships with your friend requires repentance. It requires many, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Being in right relationship with family members, it requires that. So much so, God says, if you're going to come here and you're going to worship and you have an issue with your brother or sister, I need you to hold on a minute. Righteousness matters. And this man was faithful in that. He talks about his sons, and then verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth were corrupted in all their ways. I'm going to stop there for a second. I believe that there's a parallel that's happening today with this same situation. What I'm about to share with you now, I ask you to process it with the Lord and process it with the Holy Spirit and allow the Lord to confirm it. But I believe that we're living in the same similar times. I believe in the near future, you will start to see even church members split. You will begin to see the body of Christ being divided even more. How do I know this? Satan's greatest arsenal is two things. It's to convince people that he doesn't exist. That's number one. Try shadow boxing with somebody that's knocking the living daylights out of you. You don't know where those jabs are coming from. The number two thing that he wants people, his number two strategy that he has, the same one, is division. Dividing families, dividing homes. And so when you look around the body of Christ, you don't need to be a prophet to see this. In our country, in our nation, and everywhere, what do you see? Division. What we will need in this season as the body of Christ is to put on the entire full armor of God. If you haven't studied that, read it. That is how we will withstand. We're going to now jump. And so God tells Noah, I'm going to destroy. I'm done. And then he tells Noah, I'm going to save your family. What's interesting about this story, if you look it up, many stories have, ancient stories have floods and people being wiped out. But in this situation, God actually saves a generation. He saves not just a generation, he saves a whole world. And in verse 22, it says this, Noah did everything just as God had commanded him to do. So as a vision for a church, you know, and I'm going to share this more, but, you know, where are we going? What are we doing? It's that verse. We will do everything that the Lord has commanded us to do. It's just that simple. We are, this September 18th, 2022, we'll turn 2 years old, two-year-old church plant. And if you've ever had any nieces, nephews, or cousins, you know what it's like to raise a two-year-old. I mean, you don't expect much out of them. They're two. But we are precocious two-year-old. And God has a lot of stuff for us. And so if you're wondering where we're going and what are we doing, all these things about a church, it's just that. Grace to do all that the Lord commands us to do, which will require something really interesting. It requires a relationship with God Almighty to be able to do all that he calls you to do. You cannot do all that he calls you to do if you don't have a relationship. The math doesn't add up. Not only does the math add up, the type of relationship that God is wanting with his people is not people to grovel on their knees and worship him. He's not interested. He doesn't need it. What God is looking for in relationship, hear me here, is friends. He's looking for friends. But don't be mistaken, the journey to be a friend of God is a rigorous journey that many people never become. Friendship with God gives you the opportunity to negotiate with God for what's going to happen here. Come on now, somebody. God says, I'm going to do this. He tells you first. You say, God, you can't do that. And there's a negotiation. Look at Abraham. Look at all the great, look at the prophets. There's not going to be any rain. Jesus says, I no longer call you slave, but I call you my friends. Here's why friendship with God is so difficult. The journey that you have to go to friendship with God, first, in him, it's all together. But with us, we feel this process. First, he's your savior. Like my daughter, 12 years old, someone tells her about Jesus. He's like, yes, I want Jesus. She grew up in a church home. He's your savior. The next journey, he becomes your Lord over your life. That means that there's this covering that you are no longer calling the dictates of what you're going to do with your future. That introducing something in your life called sacrifice. And in these descriptions, you'll probably know where you're at with God right now as I explain all these things. Sacrifice through that lordship is something that he requires for you to give up, because if you follow the Lord, you will follow in his footsteps. He also sacrificed. Through sacrificing with the Lord, you know, savior, lordship, comes your next step that very few people don't ever get to. It's what Paul says, I'm a bond servant. You've sacrificed so much for the Lord. You've walked with the Lord. He says, go here, you go. Do this, you do. Do this, you don't do it. You make a bunch of mistakes. You cry on your face. You fall before God. He picks you back up. And then he says, now do what I told you to do. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And this life that I live by faith in the Son of God. Bond servants. Every single letter that these apostles wrote, they started servant of God. They didn't say, I'm this great whopping apostle. Look at me. I'm prophet this. I'm prophet that. My church is 10,000. My church. He's like, no, I'm in jail. Was that funny? Did I do it? The boom. Yes. If anyone knows me, I'm not good at cracking funnies. That was enough. All right. So you're like this bond servant. They were not talking about, oh my goodness, I'm not going to go there out of respect. And then from bond servant, then you transition and you're a friend. God has always been looking for friendships and partnerships on this earth. I saw a recent video with Jay-Z, and he was talking about every time he goes home, his family are like, hey, bro, you know, I got this new idea. I just need $4,500 out you, and we're going to make $2 million. And he's like, it don't work that way. Like, it just doesn't work that way. When you don't go through that humbling process of walking with God, that type of friendship can destroy your relationship with him. Because all you do is keep asking. Grumbling, complaining. Through that process, there's something about long suffering. Through that process, once you become that friend, you don't even need to ask him. Paul says, your grace is sufficient. I'm good. I've asked him to take this away from me. He's not. I'm good. Let's go to 1 Peter. So what I want to share about that is, where are we going? We're just going to do our very best to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. And in this season, this church, you are part of what we're building boats unto salvation, just like Noah. And what is the boat? You are the boat. Your family is the boat. Your family will be a house of righteousness that people will be able to find God in your home. The reason we have communities is because this Sunday gathering that we have here is not the end all to be all. It cannot be your home and the life that happens in your home. That's why he was talking about the communities and the dinner parties and all those things. It's to really build authentic relationships with folks where people could come to know Jesus. Okay, 1 and 2 Peter, let's go ahead and go there. We're going to go to 2 Peter verse 9. 2 Peter verse 9. And I believe this is a mystery that God wants to reveal, that the church has lost, but I think for the church to make it in this next, well, not next, we are already there, I believe. We have to reorient ourselves to understand the depths of this passage. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it. But you are a chosen people, circle that, chosen. Someone ever tells you your life doesn't matter, it's insignificant, you hear that voice coming, I'm telling you, he's a father of lies and he's a murderer. Don't listen to that voice. Your life, whoo. There's this teaching that goes around the church, oh, I'm just this weak person that God's never going to use me. That's not true. You are a significant character in God's plan on all the earth. He designed it that way. So you're a chosen people. And then look at this. My God. A royal priesthood. That word royal means kings, queens. Priesthood is what I talked about earlier, and I'm going to unpack this a little bit. And then he says, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may what? Declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this world of light. Okay, let me unpack this a little bit. We are sons and daughters of God. That's a dimension of our relationship with him. That's our grounding. That's our focus that always allows us to come back to God. No matter what happens, our Father is always waiting to receive us with open arms. So that's our foundation, sons and daughters. In that, this lordship, a lord requires a kingdom. A kingdom has territory. You have no territory, you have no... It just, the math don't add up. Priests, Israel, God's holy, still chosen people, Jewish culture. It was God's vision and his desire for all of Israel to be priest to him. Through situations that did not come to pass, and then only one group of people could be priest, comes from Aaron. Read the Old Testament, you'll see this. And then of all those priests, they had a high priest. I'm going somewhere here. Stick with me. That high priest, there. They would tie ropes to their feet. And when they went into God's presence wrongly, they'll pull them out. That high priest couldn't do anything else. All of Israel had to support that one priest as he offered incense to the Lord, forms of prayer for all of Israel. And he heard from God. That was the work that he did. Praise God that in the New Testament, God is not doing a priesthood from that Aaron anymore. He has switched, follow me, and he's doing a priesthood from a man named Melchizedek, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, who has no beginning, who has no end. And this priest allows not just men, like they had in the Old Testament, women too, are priests unto God. And these priests, they don't carry a message. They're not here to grow churches. These priests are not here to grow ministries. These priests are here to conduct business on behalf of God. And so they walk around with a certain kind of heaviness on them because their whole lives have been surrendered to the Almighty God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That heaviness of intercession, that heaviness of pleading for your society, not looking around and seeing what's going on and speaking negatively, but looking around and seeing what's going on in the church and saying, no, God is going to come back for a radiant church. I will not say that the church is dead. I will not say that the church is no longer alive. I will not find all these problems wrong with the church, but I will speak life and I will breathe life into the church. That's what priests do. And will not talk bad about my leaders. I would, no matter how terrible they go. And we've seen some stuff everywhere. Priests' main function is they intercede. They get in that stuff. So what does that have to do with us? Where we're going as a church and the mandate, what the Lord has, I'm even just unpacking this. It's this thing that's being unpacked is God is calling us to be a nation of priests. We're sons and daughters, but you're a priest and priestess. That's who you are. You carry the glory of God. I carry the glory of God. We bring it everywhere we go. And what the enemy wants you to do is to forfeit your priesthood, sell it, give it up, What the enemy wants us to do is give up that priesthood. And that main function of that priesthood is prayer and intercession. Of all the things that disciples asked Jesus to do, it was teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. I often hear people talk about the love of God and how much they love God and how much God is good. I rarely hear people say, I hate the devil and I hate his schemes. And I'm beginning to discover you can't have one without the other. Because the God that you love, there's still a devil that exists that's destroying people's lives. The same thing, 1 John, Jesus says, he said, Jesus came to destroy the works of who? The devil. He is binding people. He is destroying homes. He is destroying friendships. He is running havoc. And so I've soon began to realize that where we're going and the things that we do as a church is really bunkering down to say, we're going to be a holy community of priests. Our main work that we will do will be prayer. In case you think I'm being too spiritual about this, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Over the past 3 months, I realized how actually selfish. I realized how much I think I could actually do in my own strength. Been so humbled by God. When you know it's only through abiding in Him and His life flowing through you, through extended times of being in His presence and prayer, that you have anything to offer to the entire world. Tango dancing. So, like when you tango, I didn't know this, but there's a picture we want to show you. It's called the embrace when you, oh, that's beautiful. And then there's another one. This one got me right here. Now that is, there's just something passionate about that. Not like in a creepy, lustful way, but just like, man, she's like she loves that dude. You feel what I'm saying? Like they are there, right? I hope he knows that. But anyway, but the idea of tango dancing, the key thing about tango is it's you improvise. So in the improvisation, you need that connection, number one. What you see, like, in the TV with the legs, they do all that, that's competition tango. Real tango that they do in the Argentina, all these places, because it's improvisation, when the person that's leading, you have to be so connected to them. They just, like, don't laugh, but they just move their hips, right? And then the other person feels that hip move, and they go with them. The key thing about the partner who is not leading is called the power of submission. We always have a leadership pipeline, but we don't have like a following pipeline. Hey, join this pipeline if you want to follow. And because of that, the church, no one signed up for that class. Because of that, the church has lost the true power of what it means just to follow. Because in the tango, when you're connected, when you have that connection, there's following, there's connection, and the third thing that Sue Cox talks about is there's collaboration. So when the partner that's leading, when they move their hips like that, so I actually tried to tango on our vacation, on our honeymoon, and this dude was trying to teach me how to tango, and I was just blowing it, and the whole time, he was like, no, move your hips like this. And he's like, no, move your hips like this. And I'm like, I'm trying to move my hips like this. My hips don't move like this, you know? And O'Neal, she loves to dance. She's like, I want to dance, I want to dance. And so the whole time, he's just moving his hips like this with my wife. And I'm like, I'm kind of getting jealous here, bro. You need to back up. Anyway, I digress. So in the tango, when the person leading moves their hips like this, the person following has liberty not just to follow like a puppy, but they have liberty to collaborate and accentuate their following in their own creative ways. So the tango is a process of two people intimately connected together, and they don't know the moves, but they know who's leading, and that's Jesus. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the church. And as you're connected with him as a priest, the priestess, in prayer, focused, through that connection, the Lord moves his hips like this. And then you move your hips and you do it in your own creative way. Because God is looking for friendships and partnerships, not sons and daughters, not slaves. So when God says, I need you to do this, you're like, oh God, give me the exact directions. He's like, man, collaborate with me, son. Collaborate with me, daughter. And let's tango together. Let's move together. And guess what? If you make the wrong steps, I'm leading. I got you. I got you. So where are we going as a church? We're trying to learn what it's like to tango with Jesus. We're trying to learn what it's like to rid our lives of strife. The things, I'm not even going to name names, the things that we all know, this just doesn't belong in my life. And I'm going to close with a couple of things here. So those are the reason I show those two passages, they're key. One is, I believe that we're in a season from COVID where this church has been shaken, Hebrews 12. But if you read the last line of Hebrews 12, whatever could not be shaken, the Lord says, I am a consuming fire. And I believe what's happening right now, fire from the Lord. And when I say this, this is not thus says the Lord. This is an assessment. You can take it or leave it. I believe that God's purifying fire is coming on everybody. Nobody's going to escape it. It said purifying fire. And so what we're at as a church and where we're as a community and why you matter so much in this next step that we're going is that we want to learn how to be a community of priests who are before God in worship. So when we come in here on Sunday mornings, when Pastor Justin and this whole team, when they labor in the Lord to think of how he's going to lead us in worship, this is a key critical part of it because we're giving up incense, prayers in worship. I'll cover these three pieces then I'll close. They're very short. So what is our vision? As a church, our vision is Jesus. It's just that simple. It is Jesus. It's not mission. It's not to save the world. It's not to do all these things. It's not evangelism. It's not missional. It's not communities. It's Jesus. Why is that? You could only attune to one thing. If I have two guitars and I need to tune two guitars and I pluck that E and then the other guitar is tuning, once you're tuned, you're tuned. A guitar can't have, you're tuned to one thing. So if I have to choose, do I want to tune to evangelism or Jesus? It's Jesus. If I want to tune to Jesus or feeding the poor, it's Jesus. If you tune to Jesus, you will do all those things. So that's why we don't have a big grand vision. As Jesus is hard enough. Just to stay there. So that's our vision. And because we're two, we hold that loosely for the Lord to mold that vision as we go. So that's our vision. If you're wondering where we're going, what are we doing? It's Jesus. That's what we attune to. The second thing I want to talk about, what's our mission? What's our mission? Our mission is we're seeking first the kingdom of God. That's it. We're seeking first the kingdom of God. And I want to read this. This is so important here. Just put your seatbelt on. I think I've got about 8 minutes and I'll be done. This is so important why the mission and what we're doing is seeking the kingdom of God. I'm going to read a couple of statements here. Okay. The present age, this age, begins with the creation and continues with humanity's corruption of this world, categorized by sin, suffering, death, and rebellion against God. All the devil stuff through one man's sin entered the world, and death by sin, Romans. On the other hand, the age to come, the kingdom of God, the age to come, though it sounds far off, has already broken into this present age. Can I get an amen? With Christ's coming and victory over sin, victory over death and the grave, the age to come, the kingdom of God, the thing that's supposed to be coming, it has broken in and it has inaugurated into this age. When a president of the United States is elected president, they have an inauguration ceremony. Big whoop-to-do, right? We announce that moment, but guess what? Luckily, if they don't get impeached, you still have 4 years left to go, correct? But the inauguration is the beginning of the thing. So the age to come, the kingdom of God, where there's no more death, that's the fullness of time, where there's no more mourning, where there's none of that. It's peaceful everywhere. That is the age to come. But it has already broken into this age with the coming of Jesus. He inaugurated it. It is here right now. That's why Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here. It's in you. And Satan wants to come and steal the light out of you, steal out of our children, steal out of our kids, our families. He wants to take that kingdom and steal it out. And here it is. The mystery revealed here is that the kingdom of God does not come about instantly, like a light switch once off and then on, but the kingdom of God gradually unfolds over time, more like the dimmer light in your kitchen. You dim it and the light comes on and on and on. Gradually increasing in light until its fullness. So we have two ages. The age of sin, death, mourning. The age to come, the fullness of it. And we're in this space where it's been inaugurated. We got work to do. So when we say we seek the kingdom of God, ooh. And Jesus was trying to correct the theology of all the Jewish people. He was trying to tell them in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, about the preacher, the kingdom, the preacher is sowing seeds, which means it takes time. It doesn't happen instantly. He was trying to tell them the kingdom doesn't happen instantly with the parable of the leaven of bread. It's like, it takes time. The kingdom is a leaven. It works its way in. He kept trying to correct their theology. You keep thinking I'm going to come in here and just end the whole thing, but nah. God is patient and he's loving, wishing no one to die. And he wants to give us time in this season to be priests, to come before him, to have things in order that we can bring people into his kingdom. In light of this, we seek first the kingdom of God and we forcefully pressing into it. We take off the spirit of heaviness. We take off the spirit of sin. We take off those things and we put on a garment of praise. We put on forgiveness. We put on love. We put on long suffering. Faith, hope, and love. So the gospel of the good news of the kingdom of God that we seek is also the message that we proclaim. As we lay hold of it, we offer much more than religion. Much more than religion. It offers respect, equality, lighter loads, liberty, provision, protection, family, health, education, solutions, and true identity. That's what the kingdom of God offers. Much more than religion. So what's this next step? We have a couple opportunities before us. Number one, there's a building in Norwood called Vineyard Central, St. Elizabeth Building. We have an opportunity to move into that space. We've been working with their leadership for 6 months to a year, and we're actually doing all the paperwork right now. And so our prayer is twofold. My prayer is pray. We don't want to do anything that the Lord doesn't want us to do. So if this is not the spot for us, oh, Lord, please stop it. Not afraid of that. What I'm afraid is just this thing is too serious, walking with the Lord. So this building is available to us. We've been working on it for 6 months. We're leaning in all the way. We're tangoing. And if Jesus moves his hips this way, we'll go that way. But till then, here's where we're going. We've had a generous donor who's already pledged to give $250,000 to us towards the renovations of this building. My goal, my thing that I'm thinking, one of the things I love so much about some of the leaders in our city that I really do admire is they always say, don't shortchange the vision. Don't shortchange the vision. To get this building up to speed, it may need about $1 million. I mean, that's real. But guess what? We got a quarter of it pledged already to us by a credible man of God in this city, him and his wife. If you're listening to this, thank you. So that's the space. So we have that opportunity. The second opportunity that we have before us is what's called Bellwether Academy. We want to start a preschool. Remember, the kingdom of God, we want to offer much more than religion, right? If the kingdom of God is a city with a light on a hill, what's your assets as a city? What you guys got, right? So we want to start a preschool. Vision of this preschool is to bring people together across races. That's a core concept. And the vision that we have is obviously to go and move beyond preschool to elementary and high school and just keep going. The Catholic Church got it right when they hit education. So we have this that's coming up for us in our future, preschool. Another thing that we have coming up for us in our future is we have a creative and media studio that we have opportunity. The same donor has graciously offered to give over $125,000 worth of camera equipment. And so right now, we want to find people creatively, and we want to partner with them. We want to start an asset and a business. Whatever we do it depends on who we partner with. But we want to partner with people in this house to do it. Amen? Because we're priests. I'm not a photographer. I'm not that. But somebody here may love that kind of thing. We got the equipment. So we want to start that. The other thing that we have is we want to use the space for event and weddings, right? We want to be frugal and smart with our money, so hopefully we can use that to gain assets to pour back into the ministry. So we want to use it for like wedding banquets and all that kind of things like that. Also, we want to hold listening sessions there. We want to create a space for the city to have conversations where people can listen and talk and talk about very, very difficult problems without tearing each other's heads off. I think hopefully that's something we can offer, how to have really difficult conversations as a city. We're also starting a leadership residency. We've been doing this for 3 years, but we're going to really keep developing it as a school. Really, it's an Ephesians 4 school. We feel very called to train apostles, prophets, and evangelists. And then we feel very called to bring shepherds and teachers in the mix so everybody can learn how to work together. Because the season that the church is in right now, it's a team-based effort. And there's many of you who are gifted builders in this church. There's many of you who are gifted prophetic people, shepherds, and teachers. But there's very few training on these gifts because, unfortunately, the church has forgotten about the prophets and the builders and the evangelists. But not anymore. We're going all in. And so we want to start a leadership school. And the vision behind this school is that one day it would become a college where we would actually teach people in these fivefold gifts, because I believe that what's happening in the church, these fivefold gifts will need to work together to be able to destroy the works of the enemy. I don't think anyone will be able to cut it by themselves. So residency school is coming up. That's just a few things, but what I share this with you is to say, none of this exists without you. None of it exists without you. If you're looking at me and my role in this church, my role is a servant, period. It's to build up, it's to equip, and it is to train, and then it is to get out of the way. If you ever catch any of the leaders at this church trying to build something that just seems like it's all about them, ask to meet with them one-on-one. Talk to them about it. We're not building that kind of thing. This thing has to give glory to Jesus, period. And then lastly, we have an opportunity for our church, which we're definitely moving forward into governance to put structure behind our church. We need elders, we need deacons, and we need critical governing structure over our church. And we're going to have opportunity for members. And membership is on our website, because I'm way over. You can go look on our website, 21st Century Church Cincinnati, and you can look at what it looks like to be a member, why membership, why it's important. We want to open that up because God calls for it. Read through that page on our website. And the reason we want to have deacons and elders is because the church needs order. And there are a few people in this place that has been with us through thick and thin. And so we want to be able to honor that and have that governing structure. So thank you for being here. We pray that the Holy Spirit would just keep leading you and keep guiding you over the next season. Pray for the church too, because we feel like God is going to do a lot of things. And like I said, we just want to do what he says. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. God, I pray that this leader night that's coming up, as we go into these things more, you would speak to those here who maybe you would want them to be a part of that, Lord God. Speak to them, guide them. And if this is not the season, it's not the season. Or maybe it's just not ever. But God, I pray that you would guide those to be at that leader night as we continue to seek you for our future. Holy Spirit, I pray for peace to come upon this body. If anybody came in here frustrated, upset, sad, whatever, God, I pray that they would leave just with a wave of peace in their heart. I pray for every family in here that they would be stronger than ever, God, tighter than ever, God. All the relationships that are connected to this place, I pray that the people in here would be people of peace, oh Lord. And so, God, like Noah did, God, we just want to surrender to you. Give us the grace to do that. Amen. Will you stand? And then I'm just going to give the benediction. You can go in peace. Thank you for staying. We went a little bit over. I appreciate that. So as you go this morning, may God give you the grace to be priest and priestess everywhere you go. Go in peace. God bless you. See you.